Yes, darling, but is it art?
Dance Dance is artist Kate Vanderdrift's current exhibition on Now at Sanderson Gallery. It showcases the artist's time spent at the Waitawa Regional Park, where she was the 2024 Auckland Council Artist in Residence. During her residency, Kate delved into a new experimental method of cameraless photography. These new methods of lumen exposures are created by using invasive introduced species from the Waitawa Regional Park and using the specific herbicide that is used to kill that plant. In a coming together of alchemical entities and experimentation, Kate lands on these beautiful moments of magic, breathtaking images that dance between worlds. I had a chat with Kate about her practice and her current exhibition. Here it is now.
My practice has been, for the last few years, really deeply interested in ecological processes and human relationships to place, and using photography as a form of listening and collaborative storytelling. I've been mostly interested in working with land and waterscapes that have been transformed by colonization, industrialization, and the weather.
Gorgeous. So within this new body of work within Dance Dance, it showcases your time spent at the Waitawa Regional Park, where you were the 2024 Auckland Council Artist in Residence. Heading into this residency, was there anything particular about this particular whenua that you were drawn to? Any connections between your practice and the land that you were interested in navigating?
Yes. So I wrote a proposal for the Auckland Council residency, and it was about a year before I actually did the residency. So I was developing this new process. I was working with tone cyanotypes at that time. And so I wrote a proposal based on using those techniques. As I developed them and created a series of work in the Waikato between the proposal writing and then going to Waitawa, by the time I got to Waitawa, I realized that it wasn't an appropriate way of working. Mm. And I took pretty much my whole dark room. So I had a whole, you know, kind of suite of potential techniques that I could use. The Auckland Council residency is outcome focused. So you do need to have a body of work by the end of it. And that did put a bit of pressure on me in terms of knowing that I needed to have something. The reason that some of the work that I had been thinking about wasn't appropriate was because of my, I guess, lack of connection, my background. I'm a visitor, a manuhiri to that place in the southern east part of Auckland. And when you're working with, you know, directly or site specifically with and about a place, I think it's quite important to have a connection or be able to connect with the people that are manuhiri. Yeah, it just wasn't the case for this situation. Everyone was really busy. So once I got to the residency, I really had to spend a lot of time me connecting with the land in terms of my own spiritual and physical connection. Yeah, and then really spend some time trying to work out what was appropriate for me to make work about. I did end up making three different strands of work while I was in Waitawa. One of them was kind of like my backup strand, because I felt as though my practice is pretty experimental and there's a lot of failure involved in it. And so the backup work was kind of like the work that I felt like I should be able to get to work. As there's always, you know, like it's never going to be foolproof because of it being so experimental and because it being so reliant on so many elements. Then there was some work that I was really interested in trying to develop, but I didn't know if it would. Mm. I didn't know if I'd get any kind of outcome. And that's the work, the cameraless work that put into this new show. And then there was like really fortuitous series of work that happened while I was there as well. So I was incredibly lucky, I think, that happened. Also that I had some success in creating some new techniques for me that I hadn't tried before. And that are pretty experimental. Like I'm kind of surprised that some of them worked.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. So talking about this new cameraless photography to create these beautiful, intimate images that seem to like really dissipate any distance between the viewer and the thing being captured, it produces these magically colourful, almost quite painterly and very textural images. Would you be able to walk us through these new techniques that you have created while your time spent there?
So the new techniques that I ended up working with was, well, once I got to the park and kind of worked out what I'd previously thought I might make wasn't going to work for me, you know, it wasn't appropriate. It didn't feel right. It's pretty isolated Waitawa. Like I was by myself a lot and sometimes wouldn't see people, but my main point of contact was the council ranger. His name's Brian. And so I spent a bit of time with him and I ended up being really interested in the invasive introduced plants that were in the park because there's a variety. There's quite a lot. The park's only been a park for the last 15 or so years. I think council bought it maybe 20 years ago. Prior to that, it was farmed during colonization. So mana whenua are Ngāti Pāua and Ngāitai. So it was colonized, it was turned into farmland, it was bought by Orica, which is an explosives company, and it was planted in pine. And so the land has the real visible and like impact of those time periods. And so because pine is so soil sucking, like it takes all the goodness out of the soil, it really creates a perfect environment for some invasive introduced plants that are super resilient and able to grow in those conditions that our native plants have a harder time with. Yeah, there's just diversity of these, you know, and so much work had been done by council already because I could watch back prior videos and look at photos and things of fields covered in gorse and, yeah, there's heaps of woolly nightshade and just all sorts of different types of grasses, a lot of things I'd never really noticed before, come across before myself. And so I decided to work with those. And because council is so active in managing the invasive introduced plants because they're trying to reforest the area, they also have a suite of herbicides that they're using. And there was a really evident area next to the house that I was staying that had been sprayed out and then planted. And so it was really that, I think, looking at that day in, day out, that made me think about working with the plants and the herbicides and the complexity of the conversation around, you know, this element of wanting to care, wanting to heal and restore land, but then using these, you know, pretty toxic chemicals to start that process off or to maintain a planting. So, Brian showed me all the chemicals that were that they use, and there was, you know, he gave me about 10 of them, and I started working with the herbicide and the invasive introduced plants, the weeds, and using that in combination with photosensitive substrate, so photo paper, and then I tried negatives. I tried both color and black and white, and the work that I've ended up showing as part of this exhibition has been, yeah, lumen negatives. So they're created with the herbicide that goes with the plant that collaborated in creating this image. So there's like either a wash of herbicide or the plant is dipped in the herbicide and then it's put onto the film and then in the sunlight for a long exposure. So the sun is acting as the developer and then the negative gets fixed. So yeah, then that's kind of creating the work. And in the show, I exhibited some of the negatives and then I scanned some of the negatives as well. And they have been transformed into large format photographs.
Beautiful. Yeah. And because it's quite an experimental process, This method seems to be kind of inviting a relinquishing of a sense of control and almost shifting of creative agency from you as the artist to the materials themselves. How does it feel giving this kind of, giving up the sole authorship over to the materials and to the process for them to kind of work it out? And yeah.
Oh, it's so good. It's my favourite way of working. It's a lot of pressure to have, you know, to make something from scratch without the help of anything else. And yeah, I really love the surprise. I really, there's a few elements that go into it. Like, I guess my process is once I work out that something might work, there needs to be a bit of a slowing down and almost like asking for permission from the thing that I'm using or working with or collaborating with or, you know, bringing into the studio or working with in the whenua. And I talked a little bit about the like level of failure. Like there's a lot of space for things to not go right because for things to not work out. And that is down to a number of elements, but one of them, you're working with photosensitive substrate or film or paper, and there's multiple chemical reactions, and in my previous work there was microbial kind of interactions with the substrate as well. Yeah, I feel very, very grateful when something does work because there's like so many elements for it to not work. And I also really feel as though I've been given a gift when something does come together.
Mm. And do you still feel surprised by this or do you feel like you've like got your hands on it or are you still like it's like every day, every time is like a...
It's an everyday surprise. And, you know, I feel like if I'm not in the right space, there's so much more room for things to fail too. So if I'm in a rush or I'm not, you know, asking permission or not feeling grateful or not in the right space for it, then nothing usually works very well or it doesn't have the like level of magic that I feel some of the work does. And it's really beautiful to know that that's not mine, you know, like that's not coming from me. That's me facilitating a situation for that magic to come about, to come to fruition or like into the physical world. Or yeah, it's yeah, like we can say they're my works, but they're really not, you know, like I'm just creating the environment for them to come to be.
Yeah, yeah, beautiful. I always kind of see it as you're trying to catch this magic moment and that's kind of like your role in that. Sweet. So intercepting these beautiful lumen exposures around the show, we see these photographs of little nuggets of scenery of the Waitawa Bay. These photographs add a sense of place, a grounding, and also an entrance point of sorts for viewers. Could you talk to the inclusion of these images and also the hopes of viewers as they experience this body of work as a whole?
So they were the fortuitous works that I mentioned earlier. I took my cameras with me as well as part of my huge load of equipment to Waitawa, and I hadn't really planned on using them too much. I didn't know what would come about, but one night I wasn't closing my curtains because I really was in the middle of nowhere, you know, like there's no one around. And so I wasn't closing my curtains at night. And one night I woke up and it was as if there was a bright light shining through the window. And it was the moon because there's no light pollution and it was super bright. So I decided to get up and I grabbed one of my cameras and put on my warm clothes and walked around and took photographs under the moonlight, which was quite a lovely experience. It's not something that I've done before. I have wanted to do it before, but like I've tried it before. It's kind of like one of those things that I was explaining earlier where, you know, sometimes you can want something or force something or rush and it just isn't going to work. And so I have tried that before. I've driven to an environment that I've wanted to take photographs and then it's been completely cloudy or rainy or whatever, or I felt unsafe. And because I was in the park, I was in the whenua, like I could walk around and feel quite safe and relaxed because I felt as though I was the only person there. There was a gate that gets locked at nighttime. And I mean, I was a little bit worried that someone might be there, but yeah, I could, and I could just take my time and the moon, the conditions were just perfect for taking photographs with the camera. And the moon illuminates things in a different way to the sun, even at similar angles. And it has this soft light and ability to create a wide tonal range of grays. So I spent quite a few nights walking around throughout the night and it was pretty dark still. So I, in parts, so yeah, I just went really slowly and I made a lot of photographs over those nights. And I included a few of them. They're mostly, there's one, a diptych of the area that had been sprayed with glyphosate and then planted. And it had been planted with a lot of natives. It was, I think, 43,000 plants in that site. That was marginal pasture. So I wanted to include those images to situate the park, I think.
That was Kate Vanderdrift talking to me about her current exhibition, Dance Dance, on now at Sanderson until the 22nd of June.